All right. What fun to be baptized on Easter Sunday morning. What a beautiful picture, as Shane mentioned. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Living Water on this beautiful Easter Sunday morning. Aren't you grateful for all that rain we got today? That was so good to wake up to, and so glad that you're here worshiping with us today. And let me just start out by saying every one of you look beautiful this morning. All right? Well, here's what I want you to do. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You look beautiful today." So, I have to admit that we did that in the early service, and you guys were a whole lot quieter than the early service. It's like they were having so much fun telling people that they look beautiful today, I had to stop them. I was like, that's too much beauty in this place. So, but listen, welcome. We're glad you're here. If you've been here for a long time, or maybe this is your first time showing up at Living Water, we are glad that you came to worship with us today. And if you wouldn't mind, for those of you that are checking Living Water out and you'd like to get to know us a little bit more, we'd like to get to know you a little bit more as well. And here's how we do that. There's a communication card in the seat back in front of you. You can fill that out, drop it in one of the wooden boxes, or you can scan the QR code that's on there and it'll take you into our website. Just follow directions in there. It'd be real simple. But I also want to point out that that communication card is there for several reasons, and it may come in handy for some of you at the end of the service today, so just keep that in mind as we go through the service. All right, if you would, open your Bibles to Luke, the 24th chapter. Luke chapter 24. Several years ago, there was a young boy who signed up to be a part of the church Christmas play, Easter. Maybe he was in the Christmas one too, but this one was the Easter play. And he was all excited, and he got a role in this Easter play, and it was one line. And so he left. He was a little bit disappointed that all he got was one line in this Easter play. Well, the director of the play realized that he was a little bit down, as they would practice. And so the director set this little boy down and said, "Listen, I know that you're disappointed that you only have one line, but this line that you have is probably the most important line of the entire play." Well, the little boy got excited and he went home and he started practicing his line. He practiced it over and over and over. And the line is very simple. It is, "He is not here, he has risen." He had the line down perfectly. Well, the day of the play came and the curtain went up and he walked out on stage and all he saw were the bright lights. And through the bright lights, he could see that there was a large crowd and he went into a panic. And even though he had this memorized, he had it down perfectly. When the words came out, it said, "He is not here, he is in prison." Well, sometimes we may get the wording a little bit wrong, but here's the good news. He is not here because he has risen. So here's what we're going to do. He is risen. All right, we got to practice that. All right, ready? He is risen. One more time, because that sounds so good. He has risen. Listen, the tomb is empty. Our Savior lives. And we come today and we celebrate a risen Lord and Savior. But I want to remind you, this is not just a one-day celebration. He did not come out of the tomb so we could gather together one day out of the year and stand up here and say, "He is risen," and you say, "He is risen." It's an all-year thing. Every day we celebrate our risen Lord and Savior. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because He lives, we have hope in our lives today. And if you don't know that hope, if you don't understand that hope, then our prayer is by the time we end this message today that you will know this hope personally in your life. So in Luke chapter 24, we have this beautiful story. We've been in a series of messages. It's only been 2 weeks. We started it last week. We're finishing it today. But it's called Unexpected. When Jesus doesn't meet your expectations. When Jesus doesn't meet your expectations, the title of today's message is not the ending that they expected. Last Sunday was Palm Sunday, and we talked about how Jesus didn't show up in Jerusalem the way that the people thought that he would. Oh, they were looking for a king. They were looking for a savior. They were looking for one that would come in and overthrow the Roman Empire and turn the world upside down, which would actually be putting the world right side up. They wanted a warrior, but what they got on that day was a savior that came in on a donkey. It wasn't the king that they expected, but it was the king that they needed. That happened on Palm Sunday, and there's a lot of things that happen between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. On Monday, instead of Christ overthrowing Rome, he goes after the corruption of the religious system. On Tuesday, instead of affirming the religious leaders, he publicly rebukes the Pharisees and the Sadducees. On Thursday, instead of putting up a fight, he is willingly arrested. Jesus entered Jerusalem with shouts of praise. But the ones that were singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna," on Sunday, by the time Friday comes along, they're crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. Release him, but crucify Jesus." Things became much different. He was betrayed by a friend. He was arrested in the dark. He was beaten beyond recognition. He was mocked, and then he was crucified on a Roman cross. The cross happened. The tomb was sealed, and all hope seemed lost. But then God does what only God can do. God brought life where there was death. God brought hope where there was heartbreak. God showed up in such an incredible way. It wasn't what they expected, but God showed up in a much better way. The resurrection happened. The resurrection wasn't just unexpected, but the resurrection was not the ending that they expected. But here's the truth today. Even though it wasn't what they expected, things weren't happening the way that they thought they should happen. What happened on that Easter Sunday morning, that resurrection day, was much better than what they could have ever dreamed of or hoped for. And that is true for us today as well. Aren't you glad for the resurrection? Aren't you glad for the hope that we have? Because we have a Savior who lives today. He's not dead. He's not buried in a tomb. Many people have tried to find the body. And I promise you, with all the technology that we have today, if there was a body of Jesus out there, somebody would have found him somewhere along the way. But they can't find him, because he is not dead, he is alive. What wonderful hope that we have. What wonderful news that we have. Jesus is alive. Look with me if you would. Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 1. Says, "But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were afraid, terrified, and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, 'Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day.' Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in, and he saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened." Father, today as we gather in this place, we are so grateful that we have a living Lord and Savior. We're thankful for the hope that comes through him. And Father, right now I pray that as we go through this time together, that each one of us would just have open hearts to you, ready to hear, ready to receive what you have for us in this place. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. The first thing that I want you to see through this passage this morning is that when these women went to the tomb, they were expecting a grave, but what they found was hope instead. They were expecting a grave. It says that these women, they got up or they went to the tomb early in the morning. Some would say that they got up early to go to the tomb. I would say that they probably haven't been sleeping well since Friday because of what has gone on, the grief that's in their life, the sorrow that's in their life, the confusion that's in their life, because everything is not turning out like they expected it to turn out. But why were they going to the grave on that Sunday morning? Well, they were going to the grave because in those days, Jewish burial customs involved wrapping the body in linen and anointing it with spices and perfumes to slow the decay and also to show respect. But since Jesus died on Friday and the Sabbath was coming, he died Friday afternoon, the Sabbath would begin on that when sundown happens, they were not able to finish the process. And so on that day, they're taking spices and perfumes to finish the burial process and to show their respect and to do what they needed to do. So they're going to the tomb that morning. They're expecting to find a body in the tomb. They weren't expecting a resurrection. They go that morning with their spices, not with celebration, because they're expecting to take care of the dead body. They came with grief, not with hope. They came to mourn, but not to rejoice. But instead, what they found was a stone that was rolled away and a tomb that was empty. And it says they go into the tomb and they're trying to figure out what's going on and they're staring down at the ground because they're confused and in this hopeless situation. Then notice what it says. It says, two men appeared in white robes, and these were angels that showed up. And I love the statement that they give, and this is a very powerful statement even for us today. And the angels say, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you in a cemetery looking for someone who's not dead but is alive? And the angels give this wonderful message of hope. That what you're looking for, you're not going to find here. What you're expecting to find is something that is dead, but you won't find that here unless you look in all these other tombs. What you're going to find is an empty tomb with a living Savior. And they go on to say, remember what he told you back in Galilee? And so they remember and they run back and they tell the others. You see, they weren't expecting a miracle that day. They were expecting a body. Can you imagine the moment, the confusion, the fear, the uncertainty? And then that question from the angels come. And that question that they asked was a question that would bring hope. I want us to think about that for a moment, the hope that that question, that statement has. Let us think for a moment what hope is. Hope is the confident expectation that God is not finished. Hope is that expectation that God is not finished and that the story isn't over. That the darkness doesn't get the final word. And my friend, that's not wishful thinking, but that's resurrection confidence. And that's what that statement does. You're not going to find the living among the dead. And Christ is living and it gives hope. And they left there that morning with hope. It wasn't what they expected. But what they got was something a whole lot better. What they got was something so much more. Listen, there may be times in your life when you feel like there is no hope. There may be moments when the darkness feels like it's just going to overtake you. And there is no escape from it. And here's what I know about those seasons of life. When you're going through those seasons of life, you feel like you're there all alone. And you wonder, where is the hope? Where is the life that we're supposed to have? Where is all that I need? Sometimes we lose hope because of that diagnosis that shakes us to the core. Sometimes it's when a relationship falls apart. Sometimes it can happen when the addiction feels like it owns you and you can't get away from it. Sometimes it's when we're crying out to God and it seems like the silence of heaven is more silent than anything else that we have, louder than what we're crying out for. Sometimes we feel like there is no hope. The empty grave, the tomb, reminds us that there is hope. there is hope. Easter shouts back, hope is alive because the tomb is empty. And here's what that means for us. It's such good news for us today that I hope you get this. Because of the hope that we have in Christ, it means that your past does not define you. I wonder today, can we be honest for a moment? Some of you are going, yeah, and some of you are going, no. No, not going to be honest. How many of you have ever felt like at some point in your life that there is no hope? Or where is the hope? Anybody besides me? Thank you, three of us. So sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes things happen in our life. But I wonder how many of you have made mistakes in the past that you still regret to this day. Thank you, I'm not alone. And sometimes we feel like that past defines us. That past, because of mistakes that we made, are going to change who we are in the future. But let me tell you this morning, if that's where you're at today, the hope that we have in Christ doesn't define you by your past, but it defines you of who you can be in the risen Lord and Savior. Your failure doesn't finish you. Your grief isn't the end of the story. Death does not have the final word. That is the hope that we have because of the empty grave. And listen, hope is not just an idea, but hope is a person. And his name is Jesus. Hope is a person, and his name is Jesus. I can keep saying it all day long until you get it. Hope is the person in Jesus. That's who our hope is. That's where our hope comes from. You may look at all the things of this world, and there's a lot of things that will pretend to give you hope, but it is only in Jesus Christ that we find true hope, lasting hope. The one that conquered the grave, the one that conquered death, the one that is alive today is where we find our hope. Our hope is found in him. Then the second thing that I want you to see is they expected an ending, but God delivered a new beginning. They expected an ending, but God delivered a new beginning. On Friday, it looked like it was finished. It looked like it was all over. It looked like Jesus had lost. Rome thought they had silenced him. The religious leaders thought they had finally discredited him. The disciples, well, they all scattered off in fear and in grief. To them, the movement was over. Their leader was gone. Their hope was buried and placed in the tomb. They expected the end. But what they did not realize is that God does his best work in the tombs. What they did not realize that the cross was not the conclusion, but the cross was just the setup for what was to come. It was the setup for what was to come. Because you see, without the cross, without the death on the cross, then there is no Resurrection Sunday. But because of the cross, the setup for Resurrection Sunday, now things are in place. Now things are ready for Christ to come out of that tomb. It was not the finale, but it was the foundation. Because when Jesus rose on that Sunday morning, he didn't just defeat death, but he rewrote the definition of death. We see that in John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus gives these words. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he dies. He rewrote the definition of death. He said, if you are living in me, even though you die, you're still going to live. Those that are in Christ, even though their bodies may give away, they continue to live with him. He rewrote the definition of death. The resurrection proves this. What feels like the end to us is often just the beginning with Jesus. The empty tomb reminds us that God is in the business of new beginnings. And he is still in the business of new beginnings today. God is not in the business of final chapters. He's in the business of fresh starts. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad for the many fresh starts that God has given me in my life. The fresh starts in him. He's always giving us fresh starts. So that's great news for us, that no matter what's going on in your life right now, that there is a fresh start with Jesus Christ. I love it when I get up in the morning, and sometimes I'll say, today's a brand new day. It's a fresh start, ready to go again. No matter what season I'm in, sometimes that's in the great seasons of life that we need to remind ourselves of that, because sometimes dark seasons will come and we tend to forget in the dark what God has shown us in the light. But God is in the business of new beginnings, not final chapters. The God of fresh starts. And then the third thing I want you to see is that they expected disappointment, but what they encounter is the risen Jesus. Look back at Luke 24. We're going to begin reading again in verse 13. He says, that same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the one person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priest and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing and that they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, 'You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?' Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, 'Stay the night with us, since it is getting late.' So he went home with them, and as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and he blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, 'Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?' And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem, for they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, 'The Lord is really risen. He appeared to Peter.'" So here you have these two followers of Christ. They obviously know everything that went on. They probably witnessed the crucifixion. They know that Jesus is in the tomb. And they're walking down. They're downcast. They're disheartened. They're in grief. They don't understand what's going on. And now these women have shown up and said, "The body of Jesus isn't there." And they're confused. And as they're walking down this road, it says that Jesus appears next to them. Jesus shows up. In their grief, in their disappointment, in their confusion, Jesus shows up. And he goes on to say here that God did not allow them to see that this was Jesus at this moment. So they didn't know who it was. They didn't recognize him. And they continued to walk. And Jesus said, What's the problem? What are y'all talking about? And they say, "You must not know. You must be the only one around that does not know what has happened." And Jesus responds to them. And he says, "You foolish people, how do you not believe?" And then he goes on and he begins to share with them through the scriptures what was prophesied about him all through the Old Testament, pointing to this time that a Messiah was going to come, that he was going to have to go through this. He was going to have to suffer the way that he suffered in order for the people to be redeemed and be able to have a relationship with God because of a broken relationship, because of sin that has entered the world. That these things must happen. And Jesus begins to go through scripture and he begins to tell the story. See, you need to understand, Jesus didn't just comfort them emotionally, but he took the time to anchor them theologically. He showed them the story wasn't off script. That God had this plan from the beginning. That God has not been removed from his throne, that God doesn't know what's going on, that all this has been part of God's plan from the very beginning. And as he begins to reveal this to them, then their hearts start burning within them. And it says this as they talk about Jesus after he disappeared. It said, didn't our hearts burn as he was telling us the story along the road? But I want you to see something here. The best part of the story, in my mind, is that even at this point when they get to the house, they're getting ready to go into the house, Jesus is pretending that he's going to keep walking on, that they look at him and they say, come in. Come in and be with us. Don't keep going. It's getting late. We want you to come in and be with us. Here's what I want you to understand. Jesus was not going to force himself upon them. He was not going to force himself into their life. But what he was waiting on was an invitation. And when they gave him that invitation to come in, it says that Jesus went in and he sat down with them, and as he broke the bread and he blessed it, it was then that their eyes were opened to who Jesus really is. They saw the risen Lord and Savior. They knew who he was at that moment. What an incredible story and an incredible reminder to us. Jesus is a gentleman. He's not going to force himself into our lives, but he walks right beside us. He is very close to us, and all he is waiting for is an invitation to come in. To come in. Be a part of my life. Don't keep going. Come in. To come in and be our Lord and Savior. Help us to see you for who you are. They didn't recognize it until they opened up that invitation to him. Notice what it says in verses 28 and 29. Again, it says, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, stay with us. Stay with us. Don't leave. Don't miss this. Today, the most important decision you can ever make in your life is to invite Jesus in. If you have never done that, that is the greatest thing that you can ever do. And maybe right now, just maybe, there's someone here whose heart is burning inside. Maybe you came in, you had other expectations today. Maybe some of this sounds like foolishness to you, just like it did to others. But right now, there's a burning inside of you. All Jesus is waiting for is you to invite him in. To say, don't leave. Come in. Be a part of my life. I want to see you for who you are. See the risen Lord and Savior. Listen, he is walking with people in their confusion. He is drawing near to the brokenhearted. He is showing up in the middle of disappointment and doubt. He is there beside us when we go through victories in life and we have great things that we are celebrating. No matter what we're going through in life, the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful, he is right beside us waiting on that invitation. And that's the greatest thing you can ever do in your life, is inviting Christ to be a part of your life. And that is an invitation to him. You see, the resurrection wasn't just a historical event, but it is a personal invitation. An invitation to new life, an invitation to new hope, an invitation to a new beginning. That's what Jesus brings to our lives. If you're looking for that today, you don't have to look any further than to Jesus. So I ask you that great question. Have you asked Jesus in? Have you made that invitation to him to be a part of your life? He is alive and he is calling your name. So say yes to him today. Say, come in. But I want you to notice something else in this story, and it's going back to the beginning. I love this. That when the ladies went to the tomb, they go in, you know, disheartened, they're down, and they realize that Jesus is alive. The angels help them to see that. So what do? They take off and they go back to the disciples. Perfect place to go, right? Those that have been following Christ, those that were close to Christ. And they run back to them and they say, hey, he's not in the tomb, for he is risen. He's alive. And it says that the disciples, the one who were close to Jesus, looked at them and said, this sounds like foolishness. And so they didn't believe. They didn't get it. And so it says here in our passage in John that Peter ran to the tomb. Now what John is leaving out here in other passages, it says Peter and John ran to the tomb. And it says that John outran Peter. But John's not mentioning that part here. It's like he's throwing Peter a little bit of a bone. Peter runs to the tomb and he kneels down and he looks inside and he sees that that it's just like the women had said. So then he leaves. And he's still confused. Still wondering what in the world is going on. His eyes have not been opened to this truth yet. Here's what I'm getting at this morning. For those of us that know Christ, maybe you've known Christ for a long time, maybe for a short time, but we have a great privilege to be a wonderful part of this Easter story. Doing like these women did, of going out and telling people he is alive. How do I know he's alive? Because I have seen the risen Lord and Savior. Have you seen him? Have you seen the risen Lord and Savior? I'm not talking about with physical eyes, but with spiritual eyes. You understand the truth. You know who he is, and you have invited him in, and you know that he is part of your life. And now we get the privilege every day to go out and tell people the story. And guess what? Some are going to look at you, and they're going to say, that is foolishness, because their eyes haven't been opened to the truth yet. But we know that our Savior lives. Amen? Do we? We know that our Savior lives. Listen, there's people around us. There's people close by this church that don't understand that our Savior lives. So here's what I'm going to do. They're a long way away because as you drove in, there's a big property around us. But they're out there. So I'm going to say Jesus lives, and I want you to say amen loud enough that if they're driving down the highway, they hear it, all right? Only if you believe it, Jesus lives.
Amen.
Man, that sounds good, doesn't it? We serve a risen Savior. He is alive. He's still changing lives today. And I know that because he changed mine. And I want to tell you something. If he can change mine, he can change yours. I don't care what your past is. All I care about is what your future is. And your future with Jesus looks very, very good because there is hope in him. Do you know him today? Do you have this hope in him? Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. As we close out this service today, again, most important question is, do you know Jesus personally? Have you experienced the risen Lord and Savior? Is he your Lord and Savior today? Today, if your heart is burning, if God's drawing you to yourself right where you're at right now, would you just invite him in? Invite him to be a part of your life, to give your life to him. And it's very simple. It's understanding that because of sin, you have been separated from God. And you need to be restored with him. The death that you deserve is the death that Christ died for you. So it's believing that Jesus Christ is the one and only Son of God. And that he died for your sins. He died for my sins. But he rose again. And then confessing him as your Lord and Savior. It's that simple. God made it so simple for us. And he had to because he knew that if it was difficult, we would miss it. And his desire for us is not to miss it. He loves you. And he wants to be a part of your life today. Today, maybe you've known him for a long time, maybe a short time. Let this be a reminder today to each one of us of God's wonderful love for us. That God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Father, I thank you for your wonderful love for us. And God, I pray right now that each one of us would just listen to your voice, that our hearts would burn within us. For those that do not know you as their Lord and Savior, that right now they would say yes to you. Come on in. Come on in. For those of us that know you, that today would be a great reminder and not something that we just celebrate one day of the year, but something we celebrate each and every day, and that we would be quick to share that with others so they too can experience the resurrected, living Lord and Savior. God, we thank you for all that you do for us. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Hey, today if God is speaking to your heart and you're ready to make a decision to follow him, I mentioned earlier the communication card. If you would scan that QR code, it'll take you into our website. There's a place that you can let us know the decision you're ready to make. Maybe you're ready to be baptized, just like we witnessed today. What a beautiful picture. Maybe you're ready to give your life to Christ. Maybe there's other decisions. You can do that on that card. Or if you'd rather talk to somebody personally, we would love to do that as well. So Pastor Shane and I will hang around after the service. We'd love to have that opportunity. We'll be right down here at the front. Something else I want to point out on that card is there is a place for prayer requests. And just a reminder to many of you, some of you don't know this, but we take prayer very seriously. And if you put in that prayer request, we gather together as a staff during the week, and we pray over those prayer requests. And so if there's something that's going on in your life and you'd like somebody just to be praying for you with that, then we would love to have that opportunity. So you can, again, fill that out and drop it in the box or scan the QR code. Same thing. You get the information there. All right. Let's stand together. We're going to try this one more time because you're all warmed up. You're good. You're ready. He is risen. I knew you were ready for that. So we are so glad that you came. Hopefully you've been blessed today by being here, and we pray that you have a great week. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Have a great week.